faithfulness and coming along every week and seeking you and seeking to share you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you'll use him tonight. I pray that you'll take his words, Lord Jesus, and you'll speak through them, Lord, that hearts might be touched and people's lives may be changed through what he says, Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much. Am I on? Am I good to go? All right. Woo! This is crazy. Not pure. This is weird. All right. So this message has been on my heart for a very long time. And I'm so thankful for the guys in the church actually give me the opportunity to share it. And it's entitled, "Why on Earth Would Anyone Become a Christian?" I think it's a really good question. Okay. I'm going to pose to you from 2 points. I'm going to pose to you sort of first 3 centuries when it was pretty rough. I'm going to pose to you these days, modern days. And I think, hopefully, I'm going to show you guys that they are not too dissimilar in an awful lot of ways. So we'll start right at the beginning. Okay, first 3 centuries. Christians were an early messianic Jewish sect. Okay, so they were still Jews, but they just recognized who Jesus was, which a lot of Jewish people had missed. They were nonconformists. They didn't conform to what everybody else said. They stepped out. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. While the Jews were all waiting for someone to come and deliver them from their earthly masters so they could be in charge and they could rule and lead, they recognized that Jesus had come. And actually not just gone away from their earthly masters, but he had like released them from hell and death and the grave. That's a big deal. That's an amazing... Don't go off me, PowerPoint. That's an amazing big deal. So those guys believed that. And those early Christians really sort of did suffer. Okay? And some of the costs which they kind of endured. And I'm going to break them into 2. So I'm going to break them into social costs and judicial costs. Social costs being the things with their friends, family, people around them, how it costs in those respects. And then judicial, so the things to do with the courts, the guys in charge, that kind of stuff. It's just really loud. It's weird. I can hear myself like breathing. I don't like it. All right. So social costs. Okay. Back then, back in Rome, it was a very pagan times. There was a god for everything. There was a god for your house. There was a god for your food. There was a god for where you worked. There was a god for this. There was a god for that. And wherever you went, you always paid sacrifice to the god, whether it was in food or wherever it was you went. And Christians were told not to do that. Don't do that. Don't sacrifice to idols. And that meant when they had to go somewhere, they had to make a choice. They had to go there and they had to sort of either not take part or not go at all. And this was food with friends, with family. Now, can you imagine you guys now today just saying, actually, do you know what? I'm not going to come to my family's Sunday dinner because you're going to do a sacrifice to a god and I'm not going to. You would be outcast. People think, that's weird. What are you doing? Okay? Especially if you were kind of the wife of a family, for example, back in those times. Okay? It could be really, really challenging. If you were sort of gathering with friends, it would be the same principle. They went to have food and drinks. They went out. They would sacrifice to idols. And you had to take yourself away from that. And I think that takes an awful lot of cost, a big cost to take, okay, to be in a small group of people who believe in Jesus Christ and give up on everything and all your social friends and things. So in guilds in work, you had sacrifices in work. So all the different tradesmen had different guilds, and all the guilds had their own different gods. And you had to go and worship that god and pay sacrifice to that idol. If you didn't, you brought heartache and you brought devastation on that trade. You would be outcast. You know, it's just, it was a crazy, crazy time. Yeah, there were still people, thankfully, that were willing to take those costs and take them on. Paul writes about it in the letter to Thessalonians, and I'll speak slower now because I'm going to read. "We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service, in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, we were with you. We kept telling you that we would be persecuted, and it turned out that way as well, you know." So they knew they were going to be persecuted. They knew that was coming. Okay, I think Ruth said it. It's not all sunshine and rainbows being a Christian. Okay, in fact, it can be very much the opposite. So that was the social costs. Then you had the judicial costs. Can't say that word. It's a new word I learned this week, actually. So early on, when the first started, generally it was the leaders that got persecuted. So sorry, Claire. Okay, it was you guys. And Paul writes, he says, I have worked much harder, been imprisoned more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I've received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. That's a lot to go through, right? And it carries on going. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Wow. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. They are big costs. They are big costs to take. He goes on, Paul was arrested several times. And in the early days, they often didn't kill him straight away. They kind of put him through a long settle of trial period in Acts 21. See, there was something from Acts in there. Okay. So the whole city was aroused and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops. The whole city of Jerusalem was in an uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. The commander came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with 2 chains. Then he asks who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd shouted one thing, and others another. And since the commander could not get us truth because of the uproar, he ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. When Paul reached the steps, the violence of the mob was so great, he had to be carried by the soldiers. Man, Paul's a dude, right? Isn't Paul? He's got to be a dude, right? Come on, this guy. Wherever he goes, he's seen his hardship, but yet he still preaches the gospel. He causes a riot. An uproar. And he's taken away. And in that effort, he ends up sort of being taken away. And he ends up sort of eventually going from pillar to post. Because no one could find any wrong with him. No one could charge him with anything. Because actually, he had done no wrong. But he caused such a stir when he preached that actually they just kind of kept him away. Eventually, he was executed for his faith. And all the way through that time, they gave him the opportunity. Just, Paul, just say you don't believe in Jesus, man. Just give up on it. Go away. It'll all go away. You can be free. You just got to turn away. Paul never did. How insane is that guy? Then we get on to Nero. So my son, Barmy, like, will tell you loads about Emperor Nero. Guy was nuts. Guy started a fight with the sea. Okay. He came to Britain and got his army. You know, just crazy guy. Anyway, so there was a massive attack on Rome. Okay. There was a big fire. And Nero, being a bit crazy, he sort of blamed the Christians for this. And there's a historian called, Tacitus, that says, an immense multitude were identified convicted of arson, hatred of the human race, and these were and they then suffered hideous forms of death, burned, boiled, killed by wild animals in the Colosseum, all sorts of things. If you guys have ever seen the film The Apostle Paul, there's some really harrowing images of just the Christians just being used as candles in the street because they wouldn't turn away their faith. Okay. And then I'll put this in there because Kate found this disgusting today. St. Bartholomew was a martyr. He got skinned for his faith, and there's an amazing statue in Madrid of him wearing his skin like a robe. Proud of that fact that actually he'd been martyred and he didn't give in. He believed in Christ. So, why on earth did anybody become a Christian in those days? So, I'm going to pause a few little points to you. Was it miracles? Do you think? That makes sense, wouldn't it? There's miracles. We believe in miracles, right? Probably not, because actually there were other miracles out there. There were other wonder workers. There was the young lady who saw the future. Okay. Once when we were going to a place, so this is in Acts, once when we were going to a place for prayer, we met a female slave who had the spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved. She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed with her. I like this bit. After a few days of that, he became so annoyed. He turns around, he says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you, come out of her. And at that moment, the spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hopes of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into a marketplace to face the authorities. So once again, okay, they're facing the authorities. So it wasn't that. It wasn't just the miracles, because they were around. Was it close relationships? Probably had a big part in dealing with it. Probably did. That's what we all feel, right? Okay. But you could have probably got those in other places as well. In other things with family and friends and different things. Was it because they looked after widows and orphans? Could have been. Could have been. Okay. But actually, there were other groups which did the same sort of thing. But they didn't have the social costs. They weren't the outcasts. They weren't the pariahs like the Christians were. So it probably wasn't just that. Was it a way for climbing the social ladder? Okay. We know in America, okay, it's very the church is very different here. Okay. And part of going to America, part of church in America is that kind of go in there to be seen there rather than actually do something there, okay, to worship God. It probably wasn't that if you ended up getting killed or set into turned into a candle, was it? I'm gonna guess. It probably wasn't that. Okay. So I've lost where I'm going with this now. So I was saying, I think today is very similar. We have the same issues. Okay, they're different, but they're the same thing. Thankfully, in this country, we don't have the judicial consequences. We're not going to get arrested for our faith. We're not going to get put in prison. But there are places that do that. Does happen. Yeah, and God bless those places and the people who work there and do amazing works. But we do have the social costs. We do have the friends and families thing. Okay. Let's face it, it's weird being a Christian these days in the UK. There's not many of us. Okay, you look around, most people, probably not. Okay, I know, Courtney, we had a discussion, didn't we, when you came here, how different is in America, nearly everyone's a Christian, whereas here, it's not. To become a Christian, you've got to step outside your box, and you've got to make choices to go to a Sunday service. It's not just a done thing. You guys are all here because you've chosen to be here. You've chosen to take that time out of your day and be here. Yeah? Okay. There's the social things. Okay. So we didn't have to sacrifice to idols, as in the gods. Okay. We all have our own gods, don't we? We all have our own idols. Be it power, sex, money, time, me, possessions, wherever those things are. And we do sacrifice for those things. Yeah. And we go out of our way. And when we don't do that, do we become outcasts? Do we become social pariahs? It's an interesting question, isn't it? When we say no to those things that are worldly, that everyone should do, does that make us weird? Does that make us strange? Does that make us different? I think probably the answer is yes. Okay? I know in church, in school, I worked in a Catholic school. If they ask, they sort of, when the kids say to you, what, you're a Christian? They look at you as if I'm weird. Granted, I am weird. I'm a physics teacher. But you know, they just don't get it. Like, it's that kind of principle. And the guys I work with, if we go on a night out, I will still have a beer when I'm out. Okay? Like, we'll say that. But they find it, well, you drink. You're a Christian, though. Yeah, I know. Jesus is the first miracle. I'm just saying. I know in work, there's people who struggle to talk about their faith. Okay? I remember, Kate, you were in Brintig. And we decided that we were going through a really tough time in our lives with the kids and stuff, the issues of the childminder and things. And your heart was just to come away from that kind of, that like climbing the ladder. It was away from that, step back and actually spend time serving. And you came to St. Martin's and you worked here. And I remember you having a conversation with your head and my head, assistant head, and he couldn't understand. He couldn't get his head around it. He's like, but you're going backwards. Why are you going backwards? Makes no sense. You're so good at your job. Why would you go backwards? And they just couldn't get it. They didn't understand. They just didn't understand. Didn't get it. Okay. So I'm a little lost again. Sorry. So I think that, you know, the similarities between those two things are resounding. Okay. There's those social issues of being different. And these are all choices we make, aren't they? We are choices to be Christians. We are choices that we don't do certain things, and or we engage in certain things in a different way that perhaps people don't expect. Okay, so I would have been reading this little book, and it's called why on earth become a Christian? And the answer to that is really quite straightforward. Okay, and I'm going to read you this little bit here, okay, because otherwise I'm going to forget it. It says, the book suggests the most attractive thing about being a Christian is a loving God. Of all the pantheon of gods that the Romans worshipped, many were higher beings who cared little for humans, as long as they made the sacrifices necessary. However, one of the biggest differences between the God of the Christians was that he actually loved the world that he had created and sought a loving relationship with humans. Then through his love for us, he exhorts us to love one another. That's a good thing, right? That's the difference. And I think that's the difference in that channel. I love that line. Okay? So he's a loving God. He's not a vengeful God. He's not just like, you know, you've got to do this or I will smite you sort of thing. He's a loving God. He loves us. Okay? And in fact, he loved us so much, he's willing to get off his throne in heaven, come to earth, and to die for us. There's a beautiful, I got some beautiful verses coming up, so you guys just bear with me, because I love some of these verses. I just want you guys to think about them and meditate on them a little bit for me. This is from Philippians. Okay? It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to a higher place and gave him the name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue should acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He came down from earth, from heaven, the King, the guy who created this universe. All the power he had, and he wielded. He came down for us. Romans 5:6-11 says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That sounds very different to the gods of the pantheon and the Roman gods, who were higher than anything and up there. This is the God who came down. And while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? This is our God. This is our God who loved us. He loves every single one of you. Okay? Even you at the back. My dad. He loves every single one of us. He came down, he died for us. Now, I don't know about you, but I would probably die for Kate. I would die for Barnaby. Maybe Jemima. It's not true. I would. Okay. He came down and died for us. Man, he drank that cup of wrath, that thing that we deserved. Yeah, we are sinners by nature, right? He took that from us so that we could be righteous with him. Not just... just to save us, to be righteous like him, to become heirs. I'm jumping now. I shouldn't be at this point yet, but it doesn't matter. Okay, we are heirs of God's kingdom. Okay, that's how much he loved us, that he waits for us. He waits for us to be with him so that we can inherit the glory and the power with him, even though we're sinners. I'm going to go back to my notes a little bit because I got lost. I've totally got lost. Anyway, we're going to go back to slightly. So I've been praying this for a long time, this note, this message. And why is it? And I read the book and I thought, the love bit is really cool. It's really powerful. I totally get that. Because I think you can't explain that love. You can't explain it to somebody. Like if someone says to you, can you explain the love of God to me? My words, my vocabulary is not good enough. Okay. And we were sat. So we went away. Our church went away last weekend. And then we were sat in the room, on the Sunday, and we were singing songs and we were praying. And I was looking around. Our church group was a diverse bunch of characters. Like, I mean, we got people who were 18, and then we got people as old as Mark. Okay? We let them in because, you know, you've got a balance in there. And we're just from different worlds. We're all from different places. And we were sat in that room, we were praying and we were singing, and just the sense of God's love was so overwhelming. That sense that God was just in that room, just giving every single one of us a hug. And that's that love, isn't it? And you can't explain it. It sounds weird if I try to say God tries to give you a hug. But when he's here and he's there and you can just feel it tangibly. Yeah, you've all felt in that room. He's just like, you just feel his love. Oh, it blows my mind. And I got to sort of sit there and I watched and I sat back and I watched and I sort of got to see God delivering words of knowledge into people's hearts. And words of knowledge that literally pierced the heart of that person so deeply and so sort of specifically that it couldn't have been anything but God. And I came to thinking that that's probably what held those early Christians together. When you were under persecution and you were under stress and strife from all around you, when you come and and just sit and take your time in the presence of God and he comes and he fills you up. I mean, there's nothing like it, is there? There is nothing like it. I can't explain it, but there is nothing like it. And I can just imagine those guys just living there and trusting in Jesus, trusting that he is who he says he is, and knowing that he is who he says he is, that they would be filled with that spirit, just ready to go and do whatever it was they needed to do. So there's another verse here. This is a great one. Romans 8, a great passage, great passage. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm going to read that again. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Now, we can substitute in our own little idols, in our own little issues there, can't we? There's plenty of them. We've all got them. Okay. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither highs nor depths, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ. What a verse. Come on. That's got to be a yeehaw, right? Come on, Texas. Come on. Thank you. I've been typing on my notes when I'm doing that. Come on, man. How good is that? In all those things, no matter what's against us, no matter those things that get us down, those niggles, you know those niggles, those doubts that get you? Yeah, we all have them, don't we? Oh, I didn't do that this week. Oh, we haven't done this. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, I shouldn't have played that game. Yeah, we've all had it. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Because he loved us to the point where he got down off his throne and he came and died for us. So much he loved us. And he loves us enough that he knows every single one of us. So he's going to come and he's going to talk into your life, into your life, and into your life straight away, like an arrow piercing your heart with truth and knowledge and goodness. That's our God. Why on earth you be a Christian? Because he's good. He's so good. He knows and loves every single one of us. So much so that he just wants to talk to you. And he wants you to know that he loves you. Yeah? And he's going to talk to you. And he's going to be with you. And that when you go through those tough times, he's going to be there at your back. Even when you turn around and you walk away from him. We stray away. We all do it. I've done it. We all do it. Whether it's just like something we shouldn't have done or whether it's we walked completely away. He is like that prodigal father, isn't he? He's there right behind us. Willing to take us back. Sorry, I got off my notes again. I'm going to go back. Sorry. I did write this all down. Yeah, so guys, I want to encourage you. I'm coming into land now. I wasn't going to say that. Coming into land. I want to encourage you all to go out there. Be proud that you follow Jesus Christ. Yeah? Be proud. Don't be ashamed to say it. Yeah? Don't think you will be thought less of. Don't think that people will find you weird. stand up and say you're a Christian, and you will be surprised how people respond to it. Okay, I can honestly say, in the last 20 years, the number of people that I've had have been negative response, I can count on one hand. Most of them are just curious. I was sat in the side rugby field last weekend on Wednesday night in the freezing cold, talking to a guy about Jesus, and he said, and he, rough, tough guy from St. Genneth, deepest, darkest St. Genneth, and he said, no, I don't believe in all that, mate. But you know, we still had a good 35-minute conversation about it, about why he didn't believe it. And you know what? He didn't leave believing in God. But you know, we had a really good conversation about it. So, I'm going to fire some beautiful verses at you. And then I'm probably going to start yelling again. Who knows? So, Ephesians 2:10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and of the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is in the, the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. That's all those things which we talked about, isn't it? That's those sex, power, money, you name it, it's there, okay? The spirit who is now at work. Oh, I got lost now. So all of us who lived amongst them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and formless desires and thoughts, like the rest, were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is so rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgression, it is by grace that you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. What are those works, guys? What's he asked us to do? Go tell people about Jesus. That's all he asked us to do. Okay? Guys, I'm going to finish now. So, just I'm going to urge you guys. Be bold this week when you go out. Be bold. Be courageous with your faith. Okay? Jesus loves when we step out in faith. We put our necks in the line for him. And I'm going to sort of point to Stephen here. And I've spelled Stephen wrong. I realize that now. But, you know, he preached the gospel and he was stoned for it. But while he was getting stoned, I want you to imagine this. He's there getting stoned and he is asking God to forgive those guys who are trying to kill him. And that's boldness. Now, I'm not asking you to be that bold, okay? But be bold in your own little ways. But as Stephen was being bold, heaven opened up and he saw Jesus Christ. And man, Jesus Christ wasn't just sat on his throne. He'd got up on his feet. And I can only imagine he was stood there going, that's my boy. Come here. And that's what he's going to do for us. That's all he asked us to do. So guys, I'm just going to pray for you all now. But why do we become Christians? Why on earth? Because he shows us love. A love that we can't understand. But a love that's so powerful and strong and true that it's just awesome. So we'll pray. Dear God, I just want to thank you for what you did for us. Lord, I want to thank you for that love, Lord. Lord, I ask that you will just, Lord, as we worship you, Lord, just bring your love around us, Lord, so every single person here feels that tangible touch of you, Lord. They feel that comfort, that weird sensation they don't really understand, but it just feels right. That's the only way I can describe it, Lord. But Lord, I just pray, Lord, you're going to bring that tonight, Lord. And that, Lord, you're just going to fill these people as they leave into the week, Lord. They're just going to go out. And when they're in those situations, in those circumstances, Lord, they're just going to talk about you, Lord. And have the boldness and the faith to say, yep, I'm a Christian. I believe in a Jesus Christ who died for me because he loves me. And he is good. Lord, I ask these things in all your name. Amen.
Thanks, Gav. The worship team come up. Thanks for sharing that, Gav. Really appreciate that. We're all glad, I think, that you didn't stop.